I don't know why it's decided for Russians to speak English in front of professional translators. I'll do my best, but if you feel outrageous my demonstration, just let me know and I'll switch to my native language. So it's not mine, actually. I won't speak about restoration or preservation problems. I believe that what is survived should be preserved. I'll speak about the architectural monument or its parts that was or were destroyed and or never built. Or yeah, that's right. Next, please. Ah, yeah. Thank you. It's a bad habit. So for the beginning, my personal relation to Russian avant-garde, it started in 1984. I was teaching at the Architectural Institute, and I was asked to build some vitrines for the exhibition at the Mayakovsky Museum in the form of Melnikov buildings. We built three of them in a scale close to 1:6, 1:7, 1:8, so quite about 3 meters high, or something like that. And so we built, as I remember, we built only half of each building because they're symmetrical. If you remember, we built the Rusukov Club and we built Melnikov Pavilion for the Paris exhibition, and then the third one was his own house. And the vitrines or buildings or models, they were filled with some Mayakovsky sister fabrics or Klutz's postcards or whatever. And that was the first time when I realized that the function in architecture migrates. Next. Then 6 years later, I myself did the exhibition on Melnikov on his 100th anniversary, and I had a possibility to order some models for the exhibition. And one of the models we did in my studio, and it was his Makhorka Pavilion from 1923. And the model was done from copper, and in order to show the monumental character of this building. And since that time, I think that for some buildings that destroyed and they need to be reconstructed, the change of materials is very possible. If you ask me how to reconstruct Makhorka Pavilion, I would definitely say, let's do it in metal, not in wood. Better in copper. Then another 6 years later, I did the installation at the Russian Pavilion for Venice Biennale, and one part of the installation, there was 3D models of unbuilt buildings of Russian avant-garde, and the one was Melnikov's monument to Columbus. For the competition in Santo Domingo, it's the Dominican Republic. The competition was in 1929 and no one Russian was selected for the final stage. And in 1930, there was a huge storm there, which destroyed the whole Santo Domingo city. So no ideas about monuments didn't appear. And this project was done, together with, as I said, installation Russian Utopia Depository, where I collected about 500 unbuilt buildings. So it was like a mausoleum of Russian dream there. And one of the proclamation of this installation was that there are so many unbuilt, unrealized projects still exist in Russia, and they're still looking to future, to the future, and they're still could be realized. And that's how another 6 years later I betrayed Melnikov with Malevich, and there was a commission by Guggenheim and Tretyakov Gallery to make restoration and reconstruction of the Malevich suprematist architectural model. Actually, this title helped me to save the model because, on the left there is a restoration final result, because before it was it consisted from about 60 details, and the original commission was to collect all these 60 original details, to add to them about 80 lost details, and to have a sort of a mixture of restoration and reconstruction. And I remember that on this scientific meeting at the Tretyakov gallery, I said that there is a Venetian hearty, and that's impossible, you know, to combine different, you know, materials in one piece, and proposed to them to build two models. One is it's original, like a Parthenon, and another is reconstruction. So, as I said, reconstruction is about twice as bigger in detailing, and I believe that for 80% it's Malevich. And I came a little bit further because there was one of three last wills of Malevich, and in one of them it was written, you can read it by yourself, that he's willing to have this, exactly this column in his tomb, and to have a telescope on top of it. And the height of this column would be about 36 meters, because you need at least to have an elevator or a staircase inside the column. And the invention on top, it's a telescope designed by Jan Hevelius, the Polish-German astronomer from the 18th century. So for me, it looks like a cross, and the one who is the lookouter is, you know, is hanging on this 30 meters height. It's quite dangerous, but I think it's respectful for Malevich. And this is the, well, not another, just another 4 years passed, and I've heard that a half of a building of Melnikov's house is bought, and so it belongs to two different, as it was, you know, in reality, there were two families there, and there's still two families or two owners for this building, and the building is still in danger. And I decided to somehow to protect this building, at least in model, and design something that never existed, not in Melnikov proposals, but this is the so-called double nimbus protector. It could be made of gold, of course. And it could I can imagine how shiny it would be. So this is a preface. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, do you have it? Okay, I'll try to. This is a preface, and there's some more complete stories. This is about Santo Domingo. Yeah, by the way. Well, and this is the 3D model that we did for the for Russian Utopia Archive, and I do remember that I felt something like, you know, I met an eternity when I had to design after Melnikov something, because it was lost in his plans, the podium for the building, and I designed it by myself, and I think I did it quite correctly. And just, of course, also, by the way, I thought before designing it, before making the 3D model, I thought that the Melnikov expansion note is quite, is sort of too pathetic. In order not to spoil the Melnikov original text, so I'll read it in Russian, and you can ask simultaneous translator to translate it. В настоящем проекте монумент с прахом Христофора Колумба, прикрепленный к верхнему конусу, может вращаться при условии, если произойдет одновременное совпадение направления крыл по диаметру, и в вершине конуса окажется определенное количество дождевой воды. То одно крыло закроет кран и прекратит поток воды, омывающий монумент. Другое крыло откроет нижний кран, и вся вода, имея нужный напор, устремится на турбину под полом, и монумент медленно-медленно. Это может случиться в 100 лет один раз. I checked this while working on this 3D model. I check some technical parameters, and the height of the monument is about 200 meters, and the upper cylinder is about 80 meters, and I also check the rainfall in Santo Domingo, and it's about 54 inches a year. So that would mean that the cylinder would be full in 57 years. But we should count also the evaporation, and we should count the rotation of falling water that is washing the monument. So he was absolutely, I think he was quite close to be absolutely correct with his rainfall. And that's another respect of to genius. So this is our model. And but I would say that another 3D animation was done a year before, so we were not first in making such models. It happened in a Hollywood movie, Batman Forever, in 1995. If you didn't remember, don't remember the story, it's you can read it here. And that's how it worked. I think that in this movie Melnikov got the biggest advertising ever. I think a billion people saw the movie, but unfortunately the name of Melnikov wasn't mentioned in titles. So next, I'll come to some after some unbuilt buildings. I'll come to some built buildings. This is the Kautschuk Club. It's in Plushchikha Street, in Moscow, and it's built in this famous 1927 year. I'm quite familiar with this house because this year, my partner and me, we spent about 2 months in negotiations with the tenants of the house, so-called Russian Academy of Culture, I think. And we didn't discuss this is how it was, the concert hall. So we for these 2 months we only discussed contract, and we didn't discuss some creative problems. That was funny. This is how it looks now. And from outside, that was the sort of a task of the art director, and we've got the pile of documents. Some of them originals that are absolutely needed for designer, for architect to start the process. And the process didn't start, and we still keep these documents, and nobody asked us about documents. So that means that nobody designed the or make a restoration project or the so-called adaptation project. But the building is, but the building now, and it happened like a month or two ago, the building is in scaffolding, and it's written on a banner there that it's a restoration of the facade. So, but I was, I would like to talk about the something that Melnikov had in mind, but he didn't design it, but it was only in his explanatory note. And again, his citation. На открытом угловом участке девичьего поля на Плющихе раскинулось другое здание клуба завода «Каучук». В нем зрительный зал заключен в полуцилиндр с тремя ярусами балконами с кривой одного радиуса и одинаково удаленными от портальной стены сцены. При таком равенстве размеров я мыслил пол скользящим, как подъемник от балкона к балкону по вертикали, тем самым уменьшая или увеличивая количество зрителей в залах. For me, was well, being there is quite difficult to even to imagine how the floor should rise up and down in such space. And I could imagine the extension of the stage, for instance, or I can imagine how the amphitheater could come sort of slanted. But well, I can imagine the sort of elevator stall, like rising up and down. But I also can imagine that the figure that is the semicircular one could come and form the sort of continuation of the balcony, of the first balcony, and it would really gives the possibility to use the foyer to enlarge the foyer. So maybe. Maybe he had in mind this, but who knows? We didn't really, carefully investigate this the situation. They are just the first ideas of how what did he really had in mind. These are scaffolding, closer. This is a well nice addition to this club. Is a Golden Dragon restaurant, Chinese, and by the way, they have the same contract as the Russian Academy of Culture, absolutely same or similar lease contract. So. And the state or the municipality have no right or probably desire to solve the situation by kicking one of the lenders, well, not lenders, but tenants out. This is the courtyard, I would call it. It's another building. It's a Rusakov club with the same problem, problem is anyway here, but with the same idea of building so-called life walls, as Melnikov called this movable walls. This is how it was about 6 or maybe 7 years ago. And this is his own plans, how he wanted the whole be transformed into a number of different spaces for 350 visitors, for 450 visitors, 550 visitors, 775, 1300, and even, 1995 visitors by closing or opening some of the spaces inside the building. These are, by red, the so-called life walls. And as he himself wrote, висячие залы аудитории трансформируются внутри здания с общим залом клуба. And that's how it could be. The small auditorium, by adding some stage place, become an independent room. This is the present state, and you see in the corner there is another ethnic restaurant called Bakinsky Dvorik, the Baku courtyard. It's a kind of a strange fate for constructivist clubs to have such a restaurants included to the main structure. It's another for a club which is quite close to Rusakov, just about 20 minutes walk. It's Burevestnik Club. This is present state of the building. We see the metal frames for glazing. And this is a parking from the former owner of the building. And this is same unbuilt Melnikov idea. Melnikov wanted to have a living wall between the auditorium and the gym. Now it's, well, not now, it was blocked, I think, from the very beginning of functioning the building. And he also wanted, well, I'll show you, this is here. And he also wanted to have this is a water pool. He wanted to have this water pool to be included to the foyer. This is how it looks, the auditorium now. It's unfocused because it was a birthday party there. And this is water pool. And I think it should be attractive. And I strongly believe that those intentions, if they would be built now, they would come, first of all, they would come according to Melnikov's wish, because I know from his memoirs that to the last days of his life he did regret on some of these innovations. For this building he wrote, «Здание объема 16 тысяч кубометров вмещало зрительный зал на 700 мест, объединяющийся через раздвижную стену со спортивным залом, который, в свою очередь, через люк в полу сообщается с бассейном, расположенным под партером в центре зала фойе». This is the present state of this water pool, and we see that the previous owner, they didn't know nothing about the water pool hidden behind the floor, but the decoration, it looks like a water pool, actually. And this is the last object in this row. It's a Czech garage on Novorizhanskaya Street. This is the present state, and you see that, of course, glazing changed. But the rest of the building is quite the same as it was. Even the gates, you can find it in some, I think, Rodchenko photos, they're quite similar. This is another genius worked in here. There's a Shukhov construction on top of it, and you see another change. Instead of trucks, there are buses. This is the Shukhov construction. This is nicely painted, I don't know how to call these false elements, the decoration. And this is the scheme of the building, black rectangles, these are tracks. And talking about the new function for this building, the better one would be the gallery. I knew that there were some ideas to build the car saloon here. Another idea was to rebuild it as a department store. Probably the best would be to have the contemporary art museum or gallery here, because the space, the gallery is about 5,000 square meters, so 50,000 square feet. And if to use the idea of live walls, it could be five exhibitions at once, or it could be one big exhibition, or it could be in any combination. That they might be different exhibitions at the same time. And this is the end. It's from the Kaltchuk. So I don't have 5 minutes more. No? Just 5 minutes. Please show the architecton one. Yes. And this is how I try to realize all these ideas that are based on a changing of function or last will or will itself into life, I would say. this is the continuation of the story with suprematist architectural model. Is the only space which is unsold in Rublevka, so-called golden, golden suburb, Moscow suburb. Everything is sold for villas or for department stores. But one space is still reserved. It's the station, railway station that is called Barviha. It's a one road. It's a one roadway, and. If to put this monument that I did show you in the model, just near the platform, you see the platform here. This is the platform. If to build it, like for instance here, and this land won't be sold never because it belongs to the Ministry of Railways or something like that. And the land which starts here already sold. And so if to in, and if to f- well to build the elevator inside, for example, and to repeat the external structure, the decoration inside, just scale it a bit. So we could have something like that. And it could be a monument to Malevich. It could be a little museum by his name. And it could be a special attraction to tourists. Just to come to Barviha station is about, I think, 20 minutes from Moscow to see the sign Barviha, to see the monument. And that would be the realization of last will of Malevich. The work is still in progress, so there might be some mistakes here. So that is it. Thank you.